Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, time to switch gears to college football, where Tennessee is being dragged a little bit today. You know, the University of Tennessee,
yeah,
with Josh Heupel and the pumpkin orange checkered end zone.
Some people think Tennessee might be the best team in the country.
Some people think that, huh? Mm-hmm. I don't.
People are high on Tennessee.
Actually, I don't know if I think that or not. I've never seen them play.
They look the part. They're rolling people right now.
How about that?
They haven't played a whole lot, but...
Yeah. I think it's funny how we talk about teams sometimes. You know, it's like a couple of big boys come out and win 70-0, and we think they're the best, even though they didn't play anybody.
No, it's just the difference is, like, you know, when you play... I mean, you can only play who you play, and at the beginning of the year, I mean, most of the time it's pretty soft. So far they've played Chattanooga. They did play North Carolina State, who was ranked...
What was that score?
51-10.
Ooh.
Okay. And then they beat Kent State 71-0. So 69-3, 51-10, 71-0. As opposed to like Oregon, for example, who was ranked higher than Tennessee. You know, Oregon played Idaho and Boise State and struggled. Meanwhile, you know, Tennessee's out here beating people by 60.
I get it. But doesn't necessarily mean they're better than Oregon.
No. They got Oklahoma coming up, though.
Yeah, they do.
Well, that's this week.
Well, they'll probably pound Oklahoma.
In Norman.
Oklahoma's got some issues, it sounds like.
They've had a close one, yes, but they're 15th in the country, and we'll see what happens. It's in Norman, so.
We will see what happens, Jason. We're going to watch that, damn it.
I certainly will.
We're going to see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, in Knoxville, they're getting dragged a little bit because they came out today and said that they will charge a 10% talent fee on tickets.
Yep.
Next year to help pay for paying players.
Yeah, so the tickets are going up almost 5%. It's like 4 and some change, and then you just tacking on a nice little 10% surcharge on that, on all the tickets. And some of those tickets are quite expensive.
Yeah, so the average increase is 4.5%.
Yes.
But it's 10% on season tickets and single game purchases, as well as donations for those seats.
Yeah. So basically, it's like a personal seat license, and they're just going to screw you over and keep charging you money so they can pass it on to the athletes.
To me, I guess, and I don't know what other people have said about this, but this is a giant duh.
It's coming,
I mean,
by the way.
What did we think was going to happen once teams started paying players? Like, did we think that fans would not incur some of the cost? Like, seriously, what did we think was going
to
happen?
And I know Tennessee's getting drug on this, but I promise you, this is coming to most programs. So, and they may slice this a different way, right? It may be called something different, but this is coming to Oregon. It's coming to Ohio State. It's coming to Bama.
Well, yeah, so. And I honestly don't think that it's necessarily something that should be criticized. It's just the way it's going to work.
Oh, I criticize it because if I'm a fan, although if I was a fan, I would have been out a long time ago. Like, this whole thing is just stupid. Personal seat licenses are stupid. The donations that you have to make in order to buy season tickets, all of this stuff is ridiculous. And for most fans, it's priced them out anyways. I went about a long time ago, but there's diehards. Tennessee has 100,000, you know, 110. I think it might be the largest stadium in NCAA. And people will pay it, and people are going to keep coming to those games. And it's just, it's not for me. Enough's enough.
Well, I don't know. If you think going and watching your team is still affordable,
yeah,
go.
Yeah.
If you don't.
Yep.
they don't care.
No.
They're going to fill the stadium either way.
I'm tired of athletic departments claiming poverty and needing to do this. Meanwhile, you know.
Hey, whoa.
What?
They only made $75 million last year.
Only. Meanwhile, you're buying out the Billy Napiers of the world, right? I remember when, and I'll take the local schools here. Remember during COVID and they were like, hey, we'd like you to just let us keep your money even though we're not going to pay games or play games. Dude, kiss my rosy red ass.
Well, you know what another one is it's funny, like the way we talk about, oh, Oregon State and Washington, They're paying $110 million or something for these Mountain West schools?
Yeah. Because they had the war chest of money. So it drives me crazy.
There's money everywhere in this sport.
Exactly. And we're building these ridiculous facilities. And, you know, enough's enough for me when you cry poverty. And now that you're actually going to have to share it with the players, I'm sorry, you had free labor for 100 years. Now all of a sudden, you know, you're having to pay players. And now we're like, well, we're going to have to figure this out. Oh, we've paid everyone else, but now we got to pay players. So now we're going to need you guys to dig deep. I mean, and then to a larger issue, and I don't know how all this, you know, gets sorted out because, again, house settlement is still going through and the judge told him to go pound sand. If you haven't followed that, that thing is still working its way through. There has been no settlement, so we don't even have revenue sharing yet. That details have to be worked out. But one of the largest problems in this whole thing is football has more money than it needs and has more money than it knows what to do with. The problem is that football pays for gymnastics and baseball and wrestling and all this and that. So herein lies the problem is you have one group of athletes that are funding every other athletic endeavor. And for forever, we've told those kids, shut up and take your scholarship. When those kids are like, well, that's illegal. I want what's mine. Something eventually is going to have to give. While there is a lot of money, I do think eventually it's going to run out if you're trying to pay all the other athletes and all the other sports the way you pay and play football.
Except that I think that the TV revenue numbers in football right now are baby numbers compared to what they're going to be in the future. I mean, they're just getting started. Yeah. Dude. They are just scratching the surface of the amount of money that they can make on this sport.
Yeah.
And they know it. And so that's why this money being thrown around, you're right. I mean, it really is disingenuous when you're crying poor. Like, I get why, because you're used to doing that because it's not a business model. It's more of a higher education model, right? Yeah. But they keep leaning on that. You can't lean on that anymore.
No, it's
not. We see the numbers. Uh-huh. Okay, so these TV revenue numbers are going to go through the roof. Like, it's insane. We're already laughing at the ACC for having a $35 million a year per school.
Yeah, laugh at them.
TV revenue deal. We're like, oh my God, you dummies, that's so low. I mean, 5 years ago, we wouldn't have said that so low. 5 years ago when they signed it, we're like, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
And now it's a joke. Yeah. So these numbers, like, you look at the numbers in the NFL, and I don't think college football is going to get to the NFL in terms of popularity or revenue or anything, but the room for growth in revenue is astronomical in college football, and these schools know it.
Well, and then conferences are going to start selling naming rights and private equity and all that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there are so many revenue streams that they haven't tapped into because they're so slow because they're educators, they're not businessmen.
I'm just tired of the universities turning to the Johnny, you know, I guess it's not Johnny Sixpack. So a lot of these donors have a lot of money. It's just that at some point, you know, even if I was a wealthy donor at some point, enough's enough. Quit trying to get me to come into my pockets. And when you have more than enough,
but
you
if
just
you
choose
wanna
to spend it
well,
as
yeah,
poorly.
But they've always had more than enough. And you've reached in your pocket before. And the question is, your team, how much are you willing to pay for it?
Yeah.
And they will price people out. They already have. And they will continue to do so. It's basically just supply and demand.
Yeah.
And I know people don't like that, but it is what it is. 10%, by the way, I thought was low. I'm not kidding. Like, I was like, wow,
that's pretty
only
fair.
10%. That's fair. Because it's going to be worse in other places.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't. And today, someone pointed out, Georgia passed an executive order today allowing the school to pay NIL compensation directly through the school. So you throw that thing in there.
Virginia
now
has that too.
Yeah. So, and that, you know, how does that end up with this house settlement? I mean, if you don't know, the house settlement that was supposed to, you know, go into effect here, the reason why it died on the vine was the judge that looked at it said, wait, you have all these different caps on what NIL and who can pay what. She's like, no. She goes, this is a fair, you're being sued for manipulating a fair market system, and yet you're trying to manipulate the system in the settlement. And she was like, no, go back and deal with this. We're not dealing with it. So the NCAA is still trying to have their cake and eat it too, because the model that they've had has been so one-sided. They still can't understand that those days are long gone.
It's going to take time,
yeah,
but they'll get there. And in the meantime, you will pay more to watch your team, but at least the players will get paid.
Yeah. Something. Although some fans are probably still mad about that. Take your scholarship and like it.
Well, okay.
Stop paying.
If you feel that way,
yeah,
stop going.
There you go.
Stop paying your money.
Yep.
You little bitch. God. All we have is grievances.
We do have a lot of grievances.
Get creative. Steal that guy's money. Coming up next, do Beaver fans suddenly now not want to play the Civil War? Our College Football Tuesday Roundhouse continues on The Fan.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.